the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast. And the Final Four is set, and it's a battle of the Blue Bloods, as we've been talking about already this week. Got to go down there in New Orleans, as that is going to be the epicenter of the college sports universe. So we got Duke, North Carolina, we got Kansas, we got Villanova. And right now, Lundy, you know, coursing through and parsing in between all the various lines are available at the legal sports books, I stumbled across an interesting futures bet. And usually you see these during the NFL season, which player will have the most pass yards, which player will have the most rush yards any given Sunday. Well, it's the same logic, but applied to the pair of Final Four games. What player in the Final Four matchups will score the most points? And I'm going to stack my chips on none other than North Carolina's Brady Manek at +750 again at FanDuel Sportsbook. Manek absolutely torched the Duke Blue Devils in the two prior matchups. And remember, the first one in Chapel Hill, it was a smackdown issued by Duke. And then, of course, North Carolina returned the favor inside Cameron Indoor in that final act of Coach K's coaching career in Durham. And in both of those contests, he went for 21 and he went for 20. So I know that, you know, Armando Bacot, he had 23 in that second game. You know that Paolo Banchero is going to be a threat to drop anywhere between 20 and 25 points, which he did in the first matchup between the two teams. And Banchero right now is the odds-on favorite at 5-1. He is the favorite to score the most points on Saturday. But I think Manek at +750 is right there in that conversation, given the fact that Duke has got a lot of inadequacies in three-point percentage defense. They're giving up over 37% from distance here in this NCAA tournament. And on top of that, too, Manek had 11 combined threes in those two prior matchups against him. And on the season, is shooting right around 40% from distance. So give me the bearded wonder, the Red Baron, the Justin Turner doppelganger to set the pace in points at +750 again at FanDuel. What are your thoughts on that one, my man?
Well, what do you think is going to be the threshold? That's what I would say. Like, what's the point total that we think is going to be the highest? Is it 25? Is it 28?
Yeah, if you could guarantee me 25, I feel very good about that. It could be 23, but it's got to happen, I believe, in this Duke at Carolina game. I mean, you've got an 18-point difference in total projected right now at the sports books out there. I mean, it's in 151.5 it is up to, and it should be a track meet, unlike the Villanova-Kansas game, because you and I discuss this. The only way that Villanova can compete in that game is to keep it below 60 total possessions, so they're going to bleed shot clock pretty much start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's what makes this interesting, is because it's like, I like this bet, and I love the idea of pulling it from the UNC-Duke game, and then there's also part of me that goes, what happens if the first game of the night goes completely sideways and Villanova and Kansas all of a sudden, like, Kansas has had good defense so far through the tournament, somewhat surprising, I guess you could say, has had good defense so far. What if all of a sudden, you know, shit just gets loose and these two teams start shooting?
If that happens, there is no way that Villanova can compete and win.
That's what I think. Now, you know, so I think if you're going to play this bet, and I know that a lot of the folks that are listening are in jurisdictions where you can't do this, or you can't bet on the individual college players, et cetera. You know, and so it is what it is. And you know, it sucks. But, you know, I it's just what we have to deal with sometimes as sports bettors. I think you're more than likely going to find it in that game. But what made me sort of scratch my head a little bit is, what happens if this turns into, like, what if the version of Ochai Agbaji that we have expected shows up? You could have a low scoring game that could just be dominated by Agbaji. And so that's why I wonder, I think Manek is probably the best opportunity, who you just brought up.
Well, it's going to be him or Bacot. Bacot's 8-1.
Well, and if Manek can keep his temper under control, you talked about the Red Baron there. You know, I've met a lot of angry redheads in my life. I think the high score is going to come from that game. I think that's where you got to find the odds if it's something that you can bet on. I would agree. But then I just throw out there, like, what happens if all of a sudden, you know, boom, there is a player, and it would probably be Abaji that would do it, that all of a sudden just has one of those dominant performances that we know he's capable of doing. It's the reason he was in the discussion preseason when it came to Naismith. He's in the discussion for most outstanding player of the tournament, etc.
Well, if you want that action, it's plus 950 on Ochai to get there. So just something to keep in mind. Colin Gillespie's another guy, you know, that could catch fire, and his usage is going to be through the roof, and he's 11-1. Still, again, you look at the totals, it's 151 at DraftKings right now in that Carolina-Duke game, and it's 132.5 in Kansas-Philadelphia. Chances are it's going to be in that Tobacco Road tussle between the Blue Devils and the Tar Heels. And again, for me, I'm tugging on the beard of Brady Manick, baby, a plus 750. With that, on this Taco Tuesday edition, let's get to it with another spicy Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, Lundy, let's drop the puck and make some bucks in the National Hockey League. How did we fare last night? And what do you got for me this evening, my man?
Well, we thought the Washington Capitals, home, dog, you know, they'd beaten Carolina three times this year. We were feeling, they lost 6-1. So we weren't feeling very good about that in the featured picks. In bonus time, though, I did say take Edmonton and lay it on the puck line at -1.5. Hell, Brad, you could have done -4.5. They smoked the Coyotes.
Nice.
Last night at home, 6-1. So as we look for our picks tonight, I'm going to start things off with a nice, simple total. In this one, we're going to go to Nashville. That's where the Ottawa Senators will be to take on the Preds. And I like the over in this one. I saw it at 5.5 at first. It's now at 6. I think scoring is going to be aplenty in this particular game. So snag this total while you can. It might even creep up to 6.5 by the time they do the puck drop. In some of these matchups here late in the season, especially with teams that are on their way to the playoffs, we've seen things tighten up just a little bit more defensive effort. I don't think we're going to see that tonight. I think we're going to see a lot of goals there, not too far from South Broadway,
if you've ever gotten thrown out of a bar in Nashville, that's probably where it happened. I'm not speaking from experience or anything. I'm just throwing that out there that, down there on South Broadway in Nashville, that's where you can find yourself in a heck of a lot of trouble.
Now party on down, score a ton of goals, and let's hit that over.
Number 4.
All right, let's go to the National Basketball Association. I had a hell of a night in the NBA, which is a rarity for me. I actually hit on a three-legger on a Moneyline parlay. I missed only one of five player props. Like, extraordinarily profitable night, which means I'm going to go ice cold this evening. So take this.
Oh, hell yeah.
Take this with a giant grain. No, the entire salt mine. That's what you need to take this with. But let's go ahead and get to it. And let's go with the three-headed name of Dorian Finney-Smith. And I'm going to take the over of 5.5 rebounds for the Maverick against the L.A. Lakers at a, let's get seduced by the juice, cool plus 120 at DraftKings Sportsbook. No LeBron, no AD. That much we know about the L.A. Lakers, who are fading and fading fast. And you look at Finney-Smith. He's been over this in a pair of matchups against the Lake Show this season. He had 9 rebounds against them on March 1st and duplicated it, 9 rebounds against them on December 15th. The Lakers have allowed the 7th most rebounds per game to opponents in the month of March. And I know Finney-Smith has only been over this 5 of his last 13 games and is averaging a mere 5 flat rebounds per game in the month of March. But again, given the prior success, given the fact that front court is extraordinarily thin, and two, that the Lakers have been accommodating, if you will, to guys crashing the glass at plus 120. This is so irresistible on that over for Finney-Smith. 5.5 boards against the Lake Show. Lundy, fade or follow?
Brad's on a hot streak, y'all.
We're streaking.
Sometimes we tail on player props when somebody's hot. Hey, Brad, if you've had, I know it's been a while since you've actually had a streak. Like, you have like a really good day and then just, but I'm calling it. I'm saying you're going on a hot streak. And I think some of it, it could be because it's maybe I've got some positive mojo going your way via audio osmosis, Brad, because I have now hit 3 straight same game parlays on the Nuggets.
Oh, look at you, fancy pants.
When they get back to action, a little sneak preview for you, a little tease, as we call it in the business. I'm going to make sure that I've got my same game parlay on tomorrow's pod to see if we can make it 4 in a row when the Nuggets get back in action tomorrow night.
tonight. But I think maybe I'm having a little positive effect on you, so I'm thinking we're going to take these plus odds and we're going to run with it.
Smash the glass, Finney Smith.
Number three.
All right, let's get back after it with another NBA play. We nailed it with the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday on the first half line with ease. Whether you got it at 6, 6.5, 7, it didn't matter. I think they were up by like 25 at halftime. And I'm going to go back to the first half well here. And I'm going to play a little smooth jazz with Utah. And I'm going to lay the minus 0.5, so hopefully it won't be a damn tie, in their first half line against the Clippers in Los Angeles, just minus 105 on that at FanDuel Sportsbook. I understand that Rudy Gobert is questionable with the leg. I understand that Bojan Bogdanovic is also questionable with the calf, but he's still got the Spider-Man. And Utah, in the month of March, in terms of net efficiency in the first half, they are number 8 in that standing in the NBA and number 6 in first half adjusted offensive efficiency, netting 1.209 points per possession. You look at the Clip, meanwhile, dead last in the month of March in net first half efficiency in the NBA. And over that span, 0.983 points per possession scored while giving up just 1.201. points per possession. That is a recipe for disaster, and that's why the Clippers have been lousy over the first frame. So, with or without Gobert, I think Utah gets it done. We'll have a lead at halftime in the City of Angels and scores to cover. So, fade or follow the Utah Jazz minus 0.5 points on the first half line in LA against the Clippers, minus 105 at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I always have trust issues with the Jazz on the road because they're so much better in Salt Lake City than they are on the road, especially if you look over the last few seasons, obviously remove the bubble from that. But Utah has always been spectacular at home and then just struggled on the road. So I do, I have trust issues with this one ever so slightly, but I really have trust issues right now with the Clippers. So I'm going to – this is like a lesser of two evils for me. I like Utah to have the lead, the first half efficiency that you talked about. We already hit a first half bet yesterday, although we missed on my bonus time pick, which was for Memphis to score in the first quarter. That did not happen the way that they has happened historically. But that said, these first half bets, especially for these teams that come out of the gate on fire, have been solid. I like this one. Take the Jazz on the road in the first half.
Oh, yeah. Put on a little Kenny G, baby, and hopefully we'll make some G's in the end here with the Utah Jazz. Stay tuned for my top picks of the day and the National Invitational Tournament plus bonus time in the NHL and the NBA.
Number two.
All right, let's go to the Big Apple. Let's take a bite out of the books here. And what are the first matchups on the college basketball slate? Well, hell, there's only two games tonight. We got Texas A&M and Washington State playing inside the Gadden. And we got St. Bonaventure, the Bonnies, taking on Xavier. That is your final four in the NIT. And let's focus on that Aggies and Cougs matchup. And I like A&M on the money line here, Lundy. You know, you could lay the point and a half. I think this is going to be nip and tuck. I'm worried about, yar, Captain Hook maybe screwing us here with a one-point victory for A&M. So as a result, I'm going to eliminate that risk, and I'm just going to take him straight up at minus 130, a little juicy, but we'll suck down the vitamin C there at DraftKings Sportsbook. You look at A&M, and this is a team that has really played phenomenally defensively in the month of March, giving up just 0.877 points per possession, number 16 in college basketball, forcing an opponent turnover on 22% of their possessions while giving up just 27.8% along the arc. Wazoo, number 216 this month, an effective field goal percentage offense. And I think the biggest key, again, is that three-point percentage D. 44% of Washington State's shots have come from three-point land. So knowing that A&M can get out there and stretch and defend and pressure, they will challenge and contest a lot of those outside jumpers. And unless you know, Washington State's hitting some of those, you know, high degree of difficulty shots with consistency, I think A&M will cruise to a victory, though this one I think will come down to the waning moment. So Lundy, fade or follow, gig 'em with Texas A&M, Buzz Williams' bunch on the money line against Washington State, -130 at DraftKings.
I will go with it because this was the squad that I thought belonged in the tournament after what they did in the SEC tournament. So I'm going to continue to roll with A&M. We will go with Texas Von Miller U, as is sometimes pointed out. I like this one a lot. I think this should be a great game. I will say that. I think that when you get down to the – sometimes I wonder in the NIT how much teams care about it, but by the time you make it down to where you're in the Final Eight, then
care.
The Final Four where
they
you're
care.
At MSG, then you care. I think these guys really do care, especially if you're trying to prove something about the fact that you didn't make the tournament. And I think A&M's doing that. Washington State was on its way to a secondary tournament no matter what. But A&M was on the bubble there with an opportunity to actually be in the big dance, didn't make it. So part of me thinks that they got a little bit more to prove with this one. So, yeah, I'm going to roll with the Aggies.
Go with the Fighting Ryan Tannehills and back. Texas A&M.
Number one.
All right, let's go ahead and cap it off with the other NIT matchup. And I like the under in the St. Bonaventure and Xavier game. And that is set right now at 140.5 at BetMGM. And that is a full point higher at that book compared to every other book in the legal sports market. So if you are looking to slide with that under at -110, you better do so at BetMGM. Why am I leaning under in this one? We look at Xavier in their last six contests, number 63 in college basketball, an effective field goal percentage D. That's quite decent. And Bonaventure has really ramped up their efforts, challenging shots, giving up just 0.943 points per possession in the month of March. Now, Xavier does have an interior advantage, but remember, they're down Paul Scruggs, one of their leading scorers on this team. He is out due to injury, and I believe, too, that the Bonnies will control tempo in this one. Xavier likes to run. St. Bonaventure, the antithesis of that, number 218 in adjusted tempo in the month of March. And Xavier, too, just really struggling from outside, Lundy, shooting under 30% here this month from distance. So given those outside issues and inconsistencies, given the fact they have no Scruggs on the floor, and given the fact, too, that both these teams are defensive focused, and if the Bonnies can control the pace, I don't see this one getting anywhere close to 141. So, again, give me the under. St. Bonaventure and the Muskies, 140.5, -110 at BetMGM. Fade or follow.
I like the under in this one. I want to know how you feel about the first half, though. First half line total is 65.5. Do you think they also start slow?
Yes.
Okay. So I think you could double down on this game then. I think you could take the under in the first half, and then I think you could also take the under. But as Brad said, make sure you shop it around because that extra point comes in handy. It's just like the NFL. That extra point comes in handy. You
it
might
does.
Need it. So make sure you are shopping around and paying attention. But I do like the under on the game total. But then digging into this morning before we got ready to record, I was trying to see, okay, where are we at on the first half? 65.5 is where it sits. I could see them starting slow as well. So I like that. And Brad, out of these four, who do you like to actually win the NIT? I've got the numbers in front of me.
Texas A&M, and I do have a little bonus time action on this game as well. But what is A&M to win the whole enchilada?
+200. So a nice, simple 2-1. So not huge numbers. A&M's at 2-1. St. Bonaventure is at 2.5-1. Wazoo at 2.6. And Xavier at a +340.
Yeah, they're all...
I figured it would be the Aggies, and that's not bad at 2-1 when you're down to the Final Four.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it's going to be A&M and another team, which I'm going to mention here momentarily because it is bonus time. Lundy, what else you got for me? Again, on this Taco Tuesday.
Let's have some fun with it. We're going to get a little bit creative. Let's start off with a two-legger for regulation. So both of these teams just have to win in regulation in the NHL tonight. I will take the Florida Panthers. They are at home taking on the lowly Montreal Canadiens. And then let me add in there another home team. That's the Minnesota Wild. If both of those teams win in regulation, it pays out at a +133. If you want to get really crazy with the Cheese Whiz, you can add Dallas in regulation as well. They are on the road against the wingless Anaheim Ducks. If you put all three of those together, you get to a +336. So the first two legs I really like. If you want to add in one more for like a half unit on a nice payday at +336, put Dallas in there as well. Then, oh, yes, it's an NHL player prop parlay.
Ooh.
For you. Roman Josi to have a point for Nashville. Dude's on a 13-game streak. In the month of March, he has 28 points.
points in 13 games. That is unreal right now. But because of that, he's juiced to the moon. So we need to add in another one. So I'll take another guy that has done pretty well, and that is Evgeny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Put both of those together, each of them just to have a point, so either a goal or an assist, that pays a plus 120.
All right, let me give you the other team that I am pairing with Texas A&M on a two-leg money line parlay. It's the Bonnies. And I know it's overly chalky. Both teams are laying a point and a half on the standard line. But again, without Scruggs, with the coaching vacancy, and Sean Miller is going to be filling that for next season, this is where the Muskies' run comes to an end. St. Bonaventure, by the way, burning the Nets. Last three games shooting 42.6% from distance. So Welch, Holmes, Lofton, they will be key cogs in getting Bonaventure in the title game of the NIT. So Texas A&M, St. Bonaventure, two-leg money line parlay, plus 218. Slap that together at DraftKings Sportsbook. Elsewhere, let's go back to the NBA, shall we? Give me the under on Giannis, .5 made threes in the marquee matchup tonight on the road in Philadelphia. That's plus 185 for him not to hit a three at DraftKings. He has done this, not hitting a three in a game in five of his last 10. And this month, he's only averaging 0.8 three-pointers made per contest, and he's only shooting 29.6% from distance. He was 0-for-2 in the prior matchup against Philly back in November. But the 76ers have given up 37.2% in their last 14 games. That's middle of the pack in the NBA. But I'm going to gamble here that Giannis, on maybe like an attempt or two, does not splash one through the cylinder along the arc. I also like the under on Sadiq Bey, 18.5 points in Brooklyn against the Nets, just minus 105 on that one also at DraftKings. I still think there's some great line value here. Recency bias playing a role. Remember, he dropped 51 on Orlando just a couple of weeks ago, and I think this total is inflated as a result of that. You look at his last three games, he's been under this with ease, and over those last three contests, shooting just 5 for his last 23 from way downtown. He's averaging under this in the month of March, 17.9 points per game. And in all three matchups, Lundy, against the Nets, 4, 12, and 9 points in each of those. So didn't get anywhere close to this 18.5 line. And Brooklyn 2, number 5 in the NBA in the month of March, and net efficiency rating. And there you have it. That is a wrap on this edition of the Fade the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this podcast. And as always, until next time, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Fade the Noise.